Let's begin with a prayer. Dear Father God, I thank you that you call us into your presence and that we sit at your feet and you open your word to us. And so I pray now that the meditation of my heart and the thoughts in my head may be acceptable in your sight. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I wonder, how often do you look in a mirror? Once a day? Several times a day? If you drove here, I hope it was at least several. Never, maybe. Some people just, you know, glance at themselves, flick their hair, run out the door. Others of us just ignore the mirror completely and dust it occasionally. And when you do, and if you do ever look in that mirror, what do you see? You see yourself, don't you? Naturally. A face that hopefully you recognise as you. But if you were to describe yourself, would it only amount to a list of features? Like, I've got two eyes and a nose and a mouth and some brownish hair. Or would it include other things? Like, oh, I'm a kind person. Or I care about people. Or I talk a lot. When Paul writes his letter to the Corinthians, he really puts all of who he is and what he's about out there for all to see. He is an apostle. So he is a person sent by God under the authority of God through his relationship and appointment by Christ Jesus with a mission, a remit, so to speak, to tell the world the gospel story and to describe what has taken place in and through Christ Jesus, the resurrection. And as we read and we reread this opening few paragraphs, we see the name Jesus mentioned 8 times directly and 6 times indirectly. Feel free to count it up and disagree with me. That's fine. But that was my quick count. So if you were to describe Paul, I think it would be fair to say he is a man who has at his heart Jesus. For all that he says and all that he does, it continually reflects him to the point that when, if we were asked to describe who Paul is and what it is that he has done, I'm pretty sure his relationship and knowledge of Jesus would have formed quite a big chunk of that description. Do you know people like that? Folk who, just by spending time with them, even if they never say it out loud, I am a Christian. You just know. You know that they are because they have a vibrant faith that just bubbles up out of them. We were singing the psalm this morning over at St. Giles and I thought, wow, whoever does this lectionary malarkey, they do tie it together. Psalm 145 we were croaking out. I will exalt you, O God, my King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day will I bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised. His greatness is beyond all searching out. So even the psalmists say that we should exalt, we should bless, we should praise the Lord. When I first started training to be a vicar, when I was a wee small vicarette, I was asked to work alongside another parish, and we had this wonderful woman there called Charlotte. And Charlotte lived in community. She just absolutely loved being in and out and amongst people. And I, at some point, needed to take some guidance from a lady for one of my children, a counsellor. And she was not a Christian. She'd hire out a room from our church, but she was absolutely adamant that she was not going to come to faith in any way, shape or form. But she was also a running coach, woman of many talents. And Charlotte decided that she wanted to learn how to run. She'd done like a 5K thing. That was easy. She could do that. She wanted to do a marathon. So she'd hired the services of this woman. And this lady said, just in passing, she said, Charlotte is definitely a Christian, isn't she? I said, I think so. I think she is. She comes to church every week, definitely professes of faith, married to a vicar, so pretty good chance that she is a Christian. She said, she doesn't even mention the Bible or scripture. She's not like, you know, what's that EastEnders lady? Doc Cotton, who does the misquoting all the time. None of that. It's just who she is. The way she just, she's like this volcano of just happiness and bubbliness that just, she just hugs, she just shares, and it's who she is and what she is. You just can't help it. You know that she has a faith. And it's this kind of relationship and knowledge of who Jesus is that has become so intricately bound and interwoven into Paul's life to the point that it has become part of his everyday vocabulary that enables us to know there is no mistaking he is a Christian, a person who knows and loves God and has formed a personal and deep relationship with Jesus, for it pours out of him in his words, in his actions. He is so full of the love of God that he can't help but share it. Look at his opening words. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He has received grace and peace. And now he's just, the first thing he does is he offers it out to you as a present. Here, have some grace. Have some peace. Charlotte's just the same. And others too. But this passage is not just about Paul, is it? For Paul is the writer of this letter. But to whom? Who is it that he's writing this letter to? He's writing to a group of pagans and Jews in Corinth who had recently said yes to getting to know Christ and who had called upon the name of Jesus to save them, to give them a new life and a fresh start. And how does he describe those people? Well, first, he starts off with the physical reality, like they're looking in a mirror. And he says they are the church of God. They are a people that are sanctified. That is, they are dedicated to God. Because of this bond they have with and in Christ Jesus. And they're a group of people with a mission too. Calling, and that is to be holy people. So that's the physical things. And then he goes on, beyond the physical reflection of what they look like when people look at them from the outside in, and he goes to the inner stuff that forms the self. Who are they? And that is people enriched by the grace of God, so that they have, even if they don't recognize it yet as they look at themselves, as they are beginning to just work out who they are as the people of God. This is what Paul sees as he looks at them. He sees the church of God, not buildings, people. The church of God, sanctified in Christ Jesus, who are holy people, and they are all of these things because they have called on the name of Jesus. When I came to Stoke Poges, it was 16 months ago now, and that's what I saw. I saw a church that is the people, not just buildings called churches. I saw a group of people who love Jesus and are striving to be Christ-like in what they say and are and do. A holy people, dedicated to following God. And that encouraged me then, and it still encourages me today. And I want to encourage you now. That's what I see. I still see it. For just like the people of Corinth, we're not perfect. We are not sorted and complete in and of ourselves. But with Jesus and in Christ alone, we do have all the gifts and abilities we need to grow in our knowledge and love of God, just as the early church had. For we too have received his grace. And we know the gospel. That's Jesus' testimony to us. And as we call on his name, for there is power in naming things, and power contained within that word, which John's gospel tells you is the word, that's Jesus, which was enough, remember, to create all of the earth and everything in it. So I think that's quite a word indeed. So as holy people who are just as riddled with the name of Jesus throughout our being as Paul was, I want to encourage you to come and encounter Christ afresh this year. We have many ways of doing that. We meet around the Lord's table and remember his death and passion and resurrection. We meet as a church on a Sunday. We walk alongside one another in various activities throughout this village. We get out and about and we belong. We meet together as life groups and share God's word and life together. That's why you call them life groups. And we have our own personal times of prayer and building up of faith by reading the word of God. So I want to encourage you. You are a holy people, dedicated to following God. And you are enriched. And you are able to be a blessing to all you encounter each and every day. And if you're worried or concerned that having Jesus is not enough, Paul reminds the Corinthians, and because this letter has been included in the Bible, it's a letter to you, for you, to show you that it is enough. It is enough, and it's all you need. As it says in verse 8, it will keep you firm to the end. What will keep you firm to the end? Fellowship with God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So when you look in the mirror, what do you see? A person of God? A church? an enriched, able, and gifted, grace-filled follower of the Lord? I do hope so, and I will continue to pray so. For as Paul begins this letter to the Corinthians, he wants to first of all show them who they are. How glorious we all are when we are holding firm and staying close to Christ, the one who leads and shows us the way. For soon enough, he will need to correct and reprove us and the people of Corinth, for already them and us, we do tend to stray from who we are. And that's God's people, called to be a blessing, not a curse, to those that we live and work alongside. And by constantly pointing to and speaking to Jesus as Christ Jesus, he's teaching them, and therefore he's teaching us, that we are woven into a far bigger story, with a much bigger thread running through it that connects us to a people who have been with God from the beginning. For when we turn to Christ and call on his name, we are grabbing onto a thread that can be traced back through the ages to the earlier story of Israel, as the people of God have always, read your Old Testament, the people of God have always called on the name of the Lord their God, Yahweh. That's all you need to be a Christian. You call on the name of God. You say Jesus. So as Paul opens this letter, he keeps on mentioning Jesus again and again and again. Not just as Jesus, though, but as Christ Jesus, giving him a title that points to who he is: our Lord, our King, the one to whom we call upon in name. And he hears our call and receives us into his presence. And we are his, and he is ours, to pour out and to share with a world who longs for grace and peace. So I say to you now, grace and peace be with you. Amen.